Oh, how hard it's been for me. Mi madre expects me to protect the family by being in the blood, but is in total denial. Hector wants me to prove I'm dedicated to the blood, and you, the one person who I feel like I can start a life with someday, you want me to prove I love you by doing something that could put my family in danger. I have to do this, you know. And nobody, not even you, is going to change my mind. Olvídalo. You'll risk what we have? Damn it, don't do this. We don't have to risk anything. If you start dealing drugs, it's over. I've jeopardized everything for you, for us. My friends, my parents, everything. Can't you do the same? I toss my jacket to her when her teeth start chattering. Here, put this on. And that's it. This is my life. If she can't handle it, she can go back to Colin Adams, or whoever she can mold into her own Ken doll. She tells me to take her to her friend Sierra's house.
I think we should work separately on the chemistry project,
Brittany says. She hands me back my jacket when we reach the big house on the beach.
Do you want to put the hand warmers together, or would you rather write the paper?
Whatever you want.
Well, I'm a pretty good writer.
Fine, I'll do the rest.
Alex, it doesn't have to end like this.
I watch as tears well in her eyes. I've got to get out of here before they start falling down her face. That will definitely be my undoing.
Yeah, it does,
I say, then drive off.
Brittany. After I used 2 boxes of tissues, Sierra gave up on trying to cheer me up and let me cry myself to sleep. In the morning, I beg her to keep her curtains closed and shades down. There's nothing wrong with staying in bed all day, is there? Thanks for not saying I told you so, I say as I scan her closet for something to wear after she forces me to get up. She's standing by her dresser putting on makeup. I'm not saying it, but I sure am thinking it. Thanks, I say dryly. Sierra pulls a pair of jeans and a long-sleeve shirt out of her closet. Here, wear these. You won't look half as good in my clothes as you do in yours, but you'll still look better than any girl at Fairfield. Don't say that. Why? It's true. No, it's not. My top lip is too fat. Guys think it's sexy. Movie stars pay big bucks for big lips. My nose is crooked. Only from a certain angle. My boobs are lopsided. They're big, Britt. Guys are obsessed with big boobs. They could care less if they're lopsided. She pulls me in front of the mirror. Face it, you're model gorgeous. Okay, so your eyes are bloodshot and you've got bags from crying all night. But all in all, you've got it going on. Look in the mirror, Britt, and say out loud, I'm the bomb. No. Come on, it'll make you feel better. Look right in the mirror and yell, my boobs rock. Nuh-uh. Can you at least admit you've got good hair? I look at Sierra. You talk to yourself in front of a mirror? I do. Want to see? She pushes me aside and moves up close to the mirror. Not half bad, Sierra, she tells herself. Doug is one lucky guy. She turns to me. See? It's easy. Instead of laughing, I start to cry. Am I that ugly? I shake my head. Is it because I don't have clothes with bling? I know your mom kicked you out, but do you think she'll let us go over and raid your closet? I don't know how long you'll be able to stand wearing my size 8 clothes on your size 4 body. My mom didn't call here last night looking for me. I kind of expected her to, but then again, she rarely meets my expectations. And my dad, well, he probably doesn't know I didn't sleep at home. They can keep my clothes. I'll probably sneak in during the day to check up on Shelley, though. You want my advice? Sierra asks. I look at her warily. I don't know. You hated the idea of Alex and me together from the beginning. That's not true, Britt. I didn't tell you this, but he's actually a nice guy when he loosens up. I had fun the day we all went to Lake Geneva. Doug did too, and even said Alex was cool to hang with. I don't know what happened between the two of you, but either forget about him or give him everything you've got in your arsenal. Is that what you do with Doug? She smiles. Sometimes Doug needs a wake-up call. When our relationship starts getting comfortable, I do something to switch it up. Don't interpret my advice as an excuse to go after Alex, but if he's what you really want, well, then who am I to tell you not to go for it? I hate seeing you sad, Britt. Was I happy with Alex? Obsessed is more like it, but yeah, I saw you happy. Happier than you've been in a really, really long time. With someone you like that much, the lows are as low as the highs are high. Does that make sense? It does. It also makes me sound bipolar. Love will do that to a person.
Alex. I'm eating breakfast the morning after Brittany's warehouse visit when I glimpse a shaved head peeking through my front door.
Paco, if that's you, I'd stay the hell away from me, I call out.
Mama slaps me on the back of my head.
That's no way to treat your friends, Alejandro.
I go back to eating while she opens the door for that traitor.
You're not still mad at me, Alex,
Paco says.
Are you? Of course he's not mad at you, Paco. Now sit down and eat. I've made some chorizo con huevos.
Paco has the gall to pat me on the shoulder.
I forgive you, man.
I look up then, first at mi ama to make sure she isn't paying attention, then at Paco.
You forgive me? You've got yourself a real fat lip, Paco,
she says, examining the damage I'd done to it. Paco touches his lip lightly.
Yeah, I fell onto a fist. You know how it is. No, I don't. You fall into too many fists, you're going to end up in the hospital one day,
she warns, shaking her finger at him.
Well, I'm going to work. And Paco, keep away from fists today, see? Look out before you go out, Alejandro, porfis.
I glare at Paco.
What?
You know what? How could you have brought Brittany to the warehouse?
I'm sorry,
Paco says as he chows down on our food.
No, you're not. Okay, you're right. I'm not.
I watch in disgust as he uses his fingers to scoop food up and shove it into his mouth.
I don't know why I put up with you, I say. So what happened with you and Brittany last night?
Paco asks while following me outside. My breakfast is threatening to come up, and it's not due to Paco's eating habits. I grab his collar.
It's over between Brittany and me. I don't even want to hear her name again. Speak of the devil,
he says, craning his neck. I release Paco and turn around, expecting to see Brittany. But she isn't there, and the next thing I know, Paco's fist is in my face.
Now we're even. And boy, have you got it bad for Miss Ellis if you're threatening me if I use her name. I know you could kill me with your two hands,
Paco says.
But I got to admit, I don't think you'd do it.
As I test my jaw, I taste blood. I wouldn't be too sure of that. Tell you what, I won't kick your ass if you stop interfering in my life. That means with Hector and Miss Ellis.
I got to tell you, interfering in your life is what keeps me going. Hell, even the beating my old man gave me last night when he was shit-faced drunk doesn't give me as much entertainment as your life.
I lower my head.
I'm sorry, Paco. I shouldn't have hit you. You get it enough from your old man.
Paco murmurs a,
don't sweat it.
Last night was the first time I regretted using my fists on anyone. Paco has gotten beat up so many times by his old man. He probably has permanent scars on his body. I'm a complete asshole for hitting him. In a way, I'm glad it's over between me and Brittany. I'm unable to control my feelings or emotions when she's near. My only hope is that outside of chemistry, I can avoid her. Yeah, right. Even if she's not with me, thoughts of her are always in my head. One good thing about my breakup with Brittany, it's given me time these last 2 weeks to think about my father's murder. The night is starting to come back to me in flashes. Something doesn't fit, but I can't figure it out. My dad smiled, talked, and was shocked and nervous when the gun was pulled on him. Shouldn't he have been wary all along? Tonight is Halloween, the night Hector chose for the drug deal to go down. All day I've been restless. I've worked on 7 cars today, from giving an oil change to replacing worn-out leaky gaskets.
I left Hector's gun in my bedroom drawer, not wanting to pack heat until I absolutely have to. Which is actually stupid because this will be the first of many drug deals I'll be doing in my lifetime. You're like your old man. I shrug off the voice inside my head that's been plaguing me all day. Como el viejo. I can't help it. I remember all the times my papa said, Somos cuates, Alejandro. You and me are the closest. He always spoke Spanish, as if he was still in Mexico. Someday you're gonna be strong like your padre? He'd ask in Spanish. I always looked up to my father as if he was a deity. Claro, papa, I want to be like you. My father never said to me I could be better or do better than him. But tonight, I'll prove him a carbon copy of my old man. I tried to be different by telling Carlos and Luis they can have a different path. I'm an idiot to think I've been a role model to them. My thoughts drift to Brittany. I've tried to forget Brittany will be going with someone else to the Halloween dance. I heard she was going with her old boyfriend. I try to push out of my mind the fact that another guy will have his hands on her. Her date will kiss her tonight, I'm sure of it. Who wouldn't want to kiss those sweet, soft, frosted lips? I'm going to work tonight until I have to leave for the deal. Because if I was home alone, I'd go nuts thinking about everything. My grip on the riveter in my hand loosens, and it drops smack in the middle of my forehead. I don't get pissed off at myself. I blame Brittany. And by 8 o'clock, I'm as angry as anything with my little chem partner, whether it's warranted or not.
Brittany. I'm standing in front of Enrique's auto body, doing deep breathing exercises to keep from being nervous. Enrique's Camry is nowhere in sight, so I know Alex is alone. I'm going to seduce Alex. If what I'm wearing doesn't capture his attention, nothing will. I'm giving this my all, bringing out all the artillery. I rap on the door, then close my eyes tight and pray this goes as planned. I open my long silver satin jacket, and the cool night air rushes onto my exposed skin. When the creak of the door alerts me to Alex's presence, I slowly open my eyes. But it's not Alex's black eyes staring at my scantily clad body. It's Enrique, who's staring at my pink lace bra and pom-pom skirt as if he's won the lottery. Ripped with embarrassment, I wrap the coat around myself. If I could wrap it around twice, I would.
Alex? Enrique laughs. There's a trick-or-treater here to see you.
My face is probably beet red, but I'm determined to see this through. I'm here to show Alex I'm not going to desert him.
Who is it?
Comes Alex's voice from somewhere inside the garage.
I was just leaving, Enrique says, slipping past me. Tell Alex to lock up. Adios.
Enrique walks across the darkened street, humming to himself.
Yo, Enrique, ¿quién está ahí?
Alex's voice fades when he reaches the front of the shop. He looks at me with contempt.
Need directions? Or your car fixed?
None of the above, I say.
Trick or treatin' on my side of town?
No.
It's over, mujer. ¿Me oyes? Why do you keep dropping into my life and fucking with my head? Besides, aren't you supposed to be at the Halloween dance with some college guy?
I blew him off. Can we talk?
Listen, I got a shitload of work that still needs to get done. What did you come here for? And where's Enrique?
He, left, I say nervously. I think I scared him away.
You? I don't think so.
I showed him what I was wearing under my coat. Alex's eyebrows shoot up. Let me in before I freeze out here. Please. I look behind me. The darkness seems inviting right now as my blood pumps harder. Pulling the coat tighter around me, my skin puckers with goosebumps. I shiver. Sighing, he leads me into the body shop and locks the door. There's a space heater in the middle of the shop, thank goodness. I stand by it and rub my hands together.
Listen, truth is, I'm glad you're here. But didn't we break up?
I want to give us another try. Pretending we're just chemistry partners in class has been torture. I miss you. Don't you miss me?
He looks skeptical. His head is cocked to the side as if he's not quite sure he's hearing correctly.
You know I'm still in the blood.
I know. I'll take whatever you can give me, Alex.
I'll never be able to meet your expectations.
What if I tell you I won't have any expectations? He takes a deep breath and lets it out slowly. I can tell he's thinking hard about this, because his expression turns serious.
I'll tell you what, he says. You keep me company while I finish my dinner. I won't even ask you what you have, or don't have, under that coat. Deal?
I smile tentatively and smooth down my hair. Deal.
You don't have to do that for me,
he says, gently taking my hand away from my hair.
I'll get a blanket so you don't get dirty.
I wait until he pulls a clean, light green fleece blanket out of a closet. We sit on the blanket, and Alex looks at his watch.
Want some?
He asks, pointing to his dinner. Maybe eating will calm my nerves. What is it?
Enchiladas. Mi mamá makes kick-ass enchiladas.
He stabs a small portion with a fork and holds it out to me.
If you're not used to this kind of spicy food...
I love spicy, I interrupt, taking it into my mouth. I start chewing, enjoying the blend of flavors. But when I swallow, my tongue slowly catches on fire. Somewhere behind all the fire there's flavor, but the flames are in the way. Hot is all I can say as I attempt to swallow.
I told you.
Alex holds out the cup he's been drinking from.
Here, drink. Milk usually does the trick, but I only have water.
I grab the cup. The liquid cools my tongue, but when I finish the water, it's as if someone stokes it again. Water, I say. He fills another cup.
Here, drink more, though I don't think it'll help much. It'll subside soon.
Instead of drinking it this time, I stick my tongue in the cold liquid and keep it there.
You okay?
Do I look okay?
I ask.
With your tongue in the water like that? Actually, it's erotic. Want another bite?
He asks mischievously, acting like the Alex I know.
No, Manta.
Your tongue's still burning?
I lift my tongue from the water.
It feels like a million soccer players are stomping on it with their cleats.
Ouch, he says, laughing. You know, I heard once that kissing reduces the fire.
Is that your cheap way of telling me you want to kiss me? He looks into my eyes, his dark gaze capturing mine.
Gidida, I always want to kiss you.
I'm afraid that won't be easy, Alex. I want answers. Answers first, then kissing.
Is that why you came here naked under that jacket?
Who says I'm naked underneath? I say, leaning close. Alex sets down his plate. If my mouth is still burning, I hardly notice. Now is my time to get the upper hand. Let's play a game, Alex. I call it ask a question, then strip. Every time you ask a question, you have to remove an article of clothing. Every time I ask, I have to remove one.
I figure I can ask 7 questions, querida.
How many you got? Take it off, Alex. You asked your first question. He nods in agreement and kicks off his shoe. Why don't you start with your shirt? I ask.
You do realize you asked the question. I think that's your cue.
I did not ask a question, I insist.
You asked me why I don't start with my shirt,
he grins. My pulse quickens. I pull down my palm skirt,
keeping my long jacket tightly closed. Now it's 4. He's trying to stay aloof, but his eyes show a hunger I've seen before, and that silly grin is definitely gone as he licks his lips.
I need a cigarette bad. It's too bad I quit again. 4, you say?
That sounded suspiciously like a question, Alex. He shakes his head.
No, smartass, it wasn't a question. Nice try, though. Let's see. What's the real reason you came here?
Because I wanted to show you how much I love you, I say. Alex blinks a couple of times, but beyond that he shows me no emotion. This time he lifts his shirt over his head. He flings it to the side, baring his bronzed washboard stomach. I kneel next to him, hoping to tempt him and throw him off balance.
Do you want to go to college?
The truth. He hesitates.
Yes, if my life was different.
I kick off a sandal.
Did you ever have sex with Colin?
He asks. No. He takes off his right shoe, his eyes never leaving mine.
Did you ever do it with Carmen?
I ask. He hesitates.
You don't want to hear this.
Yes, I do. I want to know everything. How many people you've been with, the first person you slept with. He rubs the back of his neck, as if there's a tension knot there he's trying to relieve.
That's a lot of questions.
He hesitates.
Carmen and I... So... Yeah. We had sex. The last time was in April, before I found out she was sleeping around. Before Carmen is a bit of a blur. That's when I went through a year-long period where it felt like I dated a different girl every few weeks, and slept with most of them. It was fucked up.
Did you always use protection?
Yeah.
Tell me about the first time.
My first time was with Isabel.
Isabel Avila? I ask, totally stunned. He nods.
It's not what you think. It happened the summer before freshman year, and we both wanted to get the virgin thing over with and find out what all the hype about sex was. It sucked. I fumbled around while she laughed most of the time. We both agreed doing it with a friend you treated like a sibling was the worst idea. Okay, I've told you everything. Now please take that jacket off.
Not yet, muchacho. If you've slept with so many people, how do I know you didn't catch a disease? Tell me you got tested.
At the clinic when I got the staples in my arm, they tested me. Trust me, I'm clean.
I am too, just in case you were wondering. I removed my other sandal, glad he didn't make me feel stupid or give me crap for asking more than one question. Your turn.
Do you ever think about making love to me?
He slides off a sock before I even answer his question.
Alex.
Yes, she answers. Do you think about making love with me?
I lie awake most nights, fantasizing about sleeping next to her, loving her. Right now, muñeca, making love to you is the only thing on my mind. I check my watch. I've got to go soon. Drug dealers don't give a shit about your personal life. I can't be late, but I want Brittany so damn bad. Your coat's next. You sure you want to keep going? I slip off my other sock. The only thing preventing me from being naked are my jeans and briefs.
Yes, I want to keep going.
She smiles wide, her beautiful pink lips glistening in the light.
Turn off the lights before I take my coat off.
I turn off the shop lights, watching as she stands on the blanket and unbuttons her coat with trembling fingers. I'm in a trance, especially when she looks at me with those clear eyes shining with desire. As she opens her coat slowly, my eyes are fixed on the present inside. She walks toward me, then trips on a discarded shoe. I catch her, then place her on the soft blanket, and settle atop her.
Thanks for breaking my fall,
she says breathlessly. I brush a strand of hair from her face, then move beside her. When she wraps her arms around my neck, all I want to do is protect this girl for the rest of my life. I ease her jacket open and lean away. A pink lace bra stares back at me. Nothing else.
Como un ángel,
I whisper.
Is our game over?
She asks nervously. It's definitely over, querida, because what we're gonna do next is no game. Her manicured fingers are on my chest. Can she feel my heart beating against her palm?
I brought protection,
she says. If I'd known, if I had any idea that tonight would be the night, I would have been prepared. I guess I never wholeheartedly thought this would be a reality with Brittany. She reaches into her coat pocket, and a dozen condom packages spill onto the blanket. You planning on making this an all-nighter? Embarrassed, she puts her hands over her face.
I just grabbed a bunch.
I remove her hands and touch my forehead to hers. I'm joking. Don't be shy with me. Slipping the jacket off her shoulders, I know I'm going to hate leaving her tonight. I wish we could have an all-nighter, but wishes are only granted in fairy tales.
Aren't you going to take your jeans off?
She asks. Soon. I wish I could take my time and make this night last forever. It's like being in heaven and knowing the next stop is hell. I slowly trace kisses down her neck and shoulders.
I'm a virgin, Alex. What if I do everything wrong?
There is no wrong here. This isn't a test in Peterson's class. This is you and me. The rest of the world is shut out right now, okay?
Okay,
she says softly. Her eyes are glistening.
Is she crying?
I don't deserve you. You know that, querida, don't you?
When are you gonna realize you're one of the good guys?
When I don't answer, she pulls my head down to hers.
My body is yours tonight, Alex,
she whispers against my lips.
Do you want it?
God, yes. As we make out, I shrug off my jeans and briefs and hug her tight, devouring the softness and warmth of her body against mine.
Are you scared?
I whisper in her ear when she's ready, and I'm ready, and I can't wait any longer.
A little, but I trust you.
Relax, preciosa.
I'm trying.
This won't work unless you relax. I pull away and reach for a condom, my hands shaking. You sure about this? I ask.
Yes, yes, I'm sure. I love you, Alex,
she says.
I love you,
she says again, saying it almost desperately this time. I let her words seep into my body and hold myself back, not wanting to hurt her. Who am I kidding? The first time for a girl hurts, no matter how careful a guy is. I want to tell her how I feel, tell her how much she's become the center of my being. But I can't. The words won't come.
Just do it,
she says, sensing my hesitation. So I do. But when she sucks in a breath, I just wish I could take the pain away from her. She sniffs and wipes a tear that's running down her cheek. Seeing her that emotional is my undoing. For the first time since I saw my dad lying dead in front of me, a tear drops from my eye. She holds my head in her hands and kisses my tear away.
It's okay, Alex.
But it's not. I need to make this perfect. Because I may never get another chance, and she needs to know how good it can be. I focus on her, completely, desperate to make it special. Afterward, I pull her close. She nestles into me while I stroke her hair. Both of us content to stay in our private world for as long as possible. I can't believe she shared her body with me. I should feel victorious. Instead, me siento una mierda. It'll be impossible to protect Brittany for the rest of her life from all the other guys who want to be near her, to see her as I've seen her, touch her as I've touched her. Man, I never want to let her go, but it's too late. I can't waste more time. After all, she isn't mine forever, and I can't pretend she is. You okay? I ask her.
I'm fine. More than fine.
I really gotta go. I say, glancing at the digital clock sitting crooked on one of the tool carts. Brittany rests her chin on my chest.
You're going to quit the blood now, right?
My body stiffens. No, I say, my voice filled with torment.
Hell, why'd she go and ask me that? Everything's different now, Alex. We made love.
What we did was great, but it doesn't change anything. She stands, collects her clothes, and starts dressing in the corner.
So I'm just another girl you can add to the list of girls you've slept with?
Don't say that.
Why not? It's true, isn't it?
No.
Then prove it to me, Alex.
I can't. I wish I could tell her something different. She has to know it'll always be like this. I'll have to leave her for the blood, time and time again. This white girl who loves with her heart and soul so intensely is like an addictive drug. She deserves better. I'm sorry, I say after I step into my jeans. What else is there to say? She averts her eyes and walks to the garage's exit like a robot. When I hear tires screeching, my protective senses kick in. A car is heading our way. Lucky's RX-7. This is not good. Get in your car, I order. But it's too late. Lucky's RX, carrying a bunch of guys from the blood, comes to a screeching halt in front of us.
No lo puedo creer, ganaste la apuesta!
Lucky yells out the window. I attempt to hide Brittany behind me, but it's no use. Plain as day, they can spot her sexy bare legs sticking out of her coat.
What is he saying?
She asks. I have the urge to take my pants off and give them to her. If she finds out about the bet, she'll think that's why I slept with her. I have to get her out of here fast. Nothing, he's trash-talking, I say. Get in the car, because if you don't, I'm going to put you in there. I hear the creak of Lucky's car door at the same time Brittany opens hers.
Don't be mad at Paco,
she says, then slides into the driver's seat. What is she talking about? Go, I order, not having time to ask what she means. We'll talk later. She speeds away.
Shit, man,
Lucky says, eyeing the back of her BMW with appreciation.
I had to find out if Enrique was shitting me. You really did screw Brittany Ellis, didn't you? Did you videotape it?
My answer is a savage punch to Lucky's gut, making him fall to his knees. I straddle my motorcycle and rev the engine. When I see Enrique's Camry, I stop by his car. Listen, Alejo, Enrique says to me through the open window. Lo siento mucho. I quit, I interrupt, before throwing the keys to the shop at Enrique and riding away. As I drive home, my thoughts turn to Brittany and how much she means to me. The reality hits me. I'm not doing the drug deal. Now I understand all those chick flicks I make fun of, because now I'm the sappy dork willing to risk it all for the girl. Estoy enamorado. I'm in love. Fuck the blood. I can protect my family and be true to myself first. Brittany was right. My life is too important to throw away on a drug deal. The truth is, I want to apply to college and make something good out of my life. I'm not like my father. My father was a weak man who took the easy way out. I'll take the challenge required to leave the blood, forget the risk. And if I survive, I'll go back to Brittany a free man. Lo juro. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm letting Hector down, but my reasons for being in the gang were to help protect my neighborhood and family, not deal drugs. Since when did dealing become a necessity? Since I got pulled over, it snowballed from there. I got arrested, then Hector bailed me out. Right after I asked questions of other OGs about the night my father died, Hector and my mom got in a heated discussion. She had bruises on her. After that, Hector was all over me about the drug deal. Paco tried to warn me. He was convinced something wasn't right. Racking my brain, the pieces slowly come together. Dios, was the truth right in front of my face? There's one person who can tell me the truth about the night my dad died. I storm into my house and find mi mamá in her room.
You know who killed Papa. Alejandro, don't. It was someone in the blood, wasn't it? The night of the wedding, Hector and you were talking about it. He knows who it is. You know, too.
Tears start welling in her eyes.
I'm warning you, Alejandro, don't do this.
Who was it?
I ask, ignoring her plea. She looks away from me.
Tell me!
I scream at the top of my lungs. My words make her flinch. For so long, I just wanted to take the hurt away from her. I didn't think to ask what she knew about my father's murder. Or maybe I didn't want to know, because I was afraid of the truth. I can't let it go any longer. Her breathing is slow and jerky as she puts her hand to her mouth.
Hector! It was Hector!
While the truth sinks in, dread, shock, and pain spread through my body like wildfire. My mom looks up at me with sad eyes.
I just wanted to protect you and your brothers, that's all. Your papa wanted out of the blood and got killed for it. Hector wanted you to replace him. He threatened me, Alejandro, and said if you didn't get jumped in, the whole family would end up like your father.
I can't listen anymore. Hector set me up to get arrested so I'd owe him. And he set up the drug deal, duping me to think it's a step up, when it was only a step into his trap. He probably suspected someone would spill the truth, and soon. I hurry to my dresser, my mind set on what I need to do. Confront my father's killer. The gun is gone.
Did you go into my drawer?
I growl at Carlos, grabbing him by the collar as he's sitting on the living room couch.
No, Alex,
Carlos says.
Créeme, Paco was here earlier and he went to our room, but he said he was just to borrow one of your jackets.
Paco took my gun. I should have known. But how did Paco know I wouldn't be home to catch him? Brittany. Brittany stole me tonight on purpose. She said not to be mad at Paco. They were both trying to protect me, because I was too stupid and cowardly to stick up for myself and face the facts that were right in front of my face.
Brittany's words as she got in her car ring in my ears.
Don't be mad at Paco. I hurried to mi mamá's room.
If I don't come back tonight, you've got to take Carlos and Luis to Mexico, I tell her.
But Alejandro...
I sit on the edge of her bed.
Mama, Carlos and Luis are in danger. Save them from my fate, please.
Alex, don't talk like that. Your father talked like that.
I'm just like Papa, I want to say, and made the same mistakes. I won't let it happen to my brothers.
Promise me. I need to hear you say it. I'm dead serious.
Tears are streaming down her face. She kisses my cheek and hugs me tight.
I promise. I promise.
I hop on Julio and call someone I never thought I'd call for advice. Gary Frankel. He urges me to do something I'd never thought I'd do. Call the cops and inform them what's going down.
Brittany. I've been sitting in Sierra's driveway for 5 minutes. I still can't believe Alex and I did it. I don't regret a single minute of it, but I still don't believe it. Tonight, I sensed desperation in Alex, though, as if he wanted to prove something to me through actions instead of words. I'm mad at myself for getting emotional, but I couldn't help it. The tears streamed out from joy, happiness, love. And when I saw a tear escape from his eye, I kissed it. I wanted to save that tear forever, because it was the first time Alex let me see him like that. Alex doesn't cry. He doesn't let himself get that emotional about anything. Tonight changed him, whether he wants to face that fact or not. I've changed, too. I walk into Sierra's house. Sierra is sitting on her living room couch. My father and mother are sitting across from her. This looks suspiciously like an intervention, I tell them. Sierra says, not an intervention, Britt. A talk. Why? Isn't it obvious? My dad says. You're not living at home. I stand in front of both my parents, wondering how we got to this point. My mother is in a black pantsuit, and her hair is in a bun, as if she's dressed for a funeral. My dad is wearing jeans and a sweatshirt, and his eyes are bloodshot. He's been up all night, I can tell. And maybe my mom has too, but she'd never show it. She'd put in Visine to mask it all. I can't play the perfect daughter anymore. I'm not perfect, I say calmly and evenly. Can you accept that? My dad's eyebrows come together as if he's struggling to keep his composure. We don't want you to be perfect.
Patricia, tell her how you feel.
My mom shakes her head, as if she can't comprehend why I'm making a big deal about this.
Britt, this has gone on long enough. Stop pouting. Stop rebelling. Stop being selfish. Your father and I don't want you to be perfect. We want you to be the best you can be. That's all.
Because Shelley, no matter how hard she tries, can't possibly live up to your expectations?
Don't bring Shelley into this, my dad says. It's not fair.
Why not? This is all about Shelley.
I'm feeling defeated. Like no matter how many words come out of my mouth or try to explain it, it'll never come out right.
I plop myself down in one of the plush velvet chairs in front of them.
For the record, I didn't run away. I'm staying at my best friend's house.
My mom brushes away a piece of lint on her thigh.
Thank goodness for her. She's been telling us what's been going on with you, giving us daily reports.
I look over at my best friend, still sitting in the corner as a witness to the Ellis' meltdown. Sierra puts her hands up guiltily as she heads for the door to hand out candy to late trick-or-treaters who just rang the bell. My mom sits up straight on the edge of the couch.
What will it take for you to come home?
I want so much from my parents, probably more than they're capable of giving.
I don't know.
My dad puts his hand on his forehead, as if he has a headache.
Is it that bad at home?
Yeah.
Well, not bad, but stressful. Mom, you stress me out. And Dad, I hate it when you come and go like the house is your hotel. We're all strangers living in the house.
I love you both, but I don't want to always be the best I can be.
I just want to be me. I want to be free to make my own decisions and learn from my mistakes without freaking out, feeling guilty, or worrying that I'm not living up to your expectations.
I choke back tears.
I don't want to let you two down. I know Shelley can't be like me. I'm so sorry. Please don't send her away because of me.
My dad kneels beside me.
Don't be sorry, Britt. We're not sending her away because of you. Shelley's disability isn't your fault. It's nobody's fault.
My mom is silent and still, staring at the wall as if she's in a trance.
It's my fault, she says.
Everyone focuses on my mom, because those are the last words we expected to come out of her mouth.
Patricia,
my dad says, trying to get her attention.
Mom, what are you talking about?
I ask.
She's looking straight ahead. All these years, I've blamed myself.
Patricia, it's not your fault.
When I had Shelley, I took her to playgroups.
My mom says, in a soft voice, as if she's talking to herself.
I admit I envied the other moms with their normal kids who could keep their heads up on their own and grasp things. Most of the time, I got the pity stares. I hated that. I became obsessed with thinking I could have prevented her from being disabled by eating more vegetables and exercising more. I blamed myself for her condition, even when your father insisted it wasn't my fault. She looks at me and smiles wistfully. Then you came along. My blonde-haired, blue-eyed princess.
Mom! I'm no princess, and Shelley's not someone to pity.
I'm not going to always date the guy you want me to date. I'm not always going to dress the way you want me to dress, and I'm definitely not always going to act the way you want. Shelley isn't going to live up to your expectations either.
I know.
Will you ever be okay with it?
Probably not.
You're so critical. Oh, God, I'd do anything for you to stop blaming me for every little thing that goes wrong. Love me for who I am. Love Shelley for who she is. Stop focusing on the bad stuff because life is just too damn short.
You don't want me being concerned because you've decided to date a gang member? she asks.
No. Yes. I don't know. If I didn't feel like you'd be judgmental, I'd share it with you. If you could meet him, he's just so much more than people see on the outside. If you want me to sneak around just so I can be with him, I'll do it.
He's a gang member, my mom says dryly.
His name is Alex.
My dad leans back.
Knowing his name doesn't change the fact that he's in a gang, Brittany.
No, it doesn't. It's just a step in the right direction, though. Would you rather have me be truthful or sneaking around?
It took us an hour until my mom agreed to try and stop hovering so much, and for my dad to agree to come home twice a week from work before 6. I agreed to have Alex come by the house so they could meet him, and to tell them where I'm going and who I'm going with. They haven't agreed to approve or like my choice in boyfriends, but it's a start. I want to try making things right, because picking up the pieces is way better than leaving them the way they are.
'54. Alex. The deal is supposed to happen here, at the Forest Preserve in Bussy Woods. The parking lot and area beyond are dark, with a sliver of moonlight to guide me. The place is deserted, except for a blue sedan with its lights on. I walk farther into the woods and catch a glimpse of a dark figure lying on the ground. I run while dread washes over me. I recognize my jacket the closer I get. It's like seeing my own death in front of me. Kneeling on the ground, I slowly turn the body over. Paco.
Oh, shit!
I cry as I feel his hot, wet blood soak my hands. Paco's eyes are glazed, but he moves his hand slowly and grabs onto my arm.
I fucked up.
I rest Paco's head on my thighs.
I told you to stop interfering with my life. Don't die on me. You better not die on me.
I choke out.
Holy shit, you're bleeding all over.
Bright red blood streams out of his mouth.
I'm scared.
He whispers, then winces in pain. Don't leave me. Hold on and it'll be fine. I hold Paco tightly, knowing I just lied to him. My best friend is dying. There's no going back. I feel his pain as if it's my own.
Looky here, it's Preteng Alex and his sidekick, the real Alex. Some Halloween night, ain't it?
I turn to the sound of Hector's voice.
It's too bad I couldn't tell it was Paco I was shooting at,
he continues.
Man, you two look so different in daylight. I guess I should've get my eyes checked.
He pulls a gun on me. I'm not scared. I'm angry. And I need answers.
Why did you do this? If you must know, it's your father's fault. He wanted out of the blood. But there is no out, Alex. He was the best we had, your padre. Right before he died, he tried to quit. That last drug deal was his challenge, Alex. Father-son drug deal. You both make it out alive, he wins.
He laughs, a cackling sound reverberating in my ears.
Stupid motherfucker never had a chance. You're too much like your old man. I thought I could train you to take his place as a great drug and gun dealer, but no. You really are like your old man. A quitter. Un rajado.
I look down at Paco. He's hardly breathing, the air barely making it out of his lungs. Looking down at his blood-stained chest, the growing red bull's eye reminds me of my papa. This time, though, I'm not 6 years old. Everything is crystal clear. My eyes meet Paco's for an intense second.
The Latino blood betrayed us both, man,
are the last words Paco says before his eyes glaze over, and he falls limp in my arms.
Put him down already. He's dead, Alex. Just like your old man. Get up and face me,
Hector yells, waving his gun in the air like a lunatic. I gently lay Paco's lifeless body on the ground and stand, ready to fight.
Put your hands on your head so I can see them. You know, when I killed El Viejo, you cried like an escuincle, a baby, Alex. You cried in my arms, the guy who killed him. Ironic, huh?
I was only 6. If I'd known it was Hector, I wouldn't have joined the blood. Why'd you do it, Hector?
Boy, you'll never learn, will you? You see, tu papa thought he was better than me. I showed him, didn't I? He bragged that the south side of Fairfield was a cut above since the high school was in a rich hood. Said in Fairfield there were no gangs. I changed that, Alex. Got my guys to go in and make every household belong to me. It was either come to me or lose everything. That, my boy, is what makes me el jefe.
It makes you a madman.
Madman, genius, same thing.
Hector pushes me with a gun.
Now get on your knees. I think this is a good place for you to lie. Right here in the woods, like an animal. You want to lie like an animal, Alex?
You the animal, asshole. You could at least look me in the eye when you murder me, like you did to my father. When Hector walks around me, I finally have a chance. Grabbing Hector's wrist, I force him to the ground. Hector swears and is fast to his feet, the gun still in his hand. I use his disorientation to my advantage and kick him in the side. Whirling around, Hector knocks the side of my head with the butt of his gun. I fall on my knees, cursing the fact that I'm not invincible. Thoughts of mi papá and Paco give me the strength to fight back through the blur. I'm all too aware Hector is trying to get a good shot at me. When I kick Hector back, I scramble to my feet. Hector's Glock is pointed directly at my chest.
This is the Arlington Heights police! Drop your weapons and put your hands in the air where we can see them!
Through the woods and the haze, I can barely see red and blue lights flashing in the distance. I raise my hands. Drop it, Hector. The game is over. Hector holds the gun steady, aimed at my chest.
Put the gun down!
The police call out.
Now!
Hector's eyes are wild. I feel his rage from the 5 feet separating us. I know he's going to do it. Es un cabrón. He's going to pull the trigger.
You're wrong, Alex, he says. The game has just begun.
The whole thing happens fast. I move to the right as the shots ring out. Pop, pop, pop. Stumbling backward, I know I'm hit. The bullet burns through my skin as if someone is pouring Tabasco on it. Then my world goes black.
Brittany. At 5 in the morning, my ringing cell phone wakes me up. It's Isabel, probably wanting advice about Paco. Do you know what time it is? I ask when I answer the call.
He's dead, Brittany. He's gone.
Who? I ask frantically.
Paco.
And I didn't know if I should call you, but you'll find out eventually that Alex was there also, and my fingers tighten on the phone.
Where is Alex? Is he okay? Please tell me he's okay. I beg of you, Isa, please.
He was shot. For a second, I wait for her to say the dreaded words. He's dead. But she doesn't. He's in surgery at Lakeshore Hospital. Before she finishes the sentence, I'm ripping off my PJs and frantically throwing on clothes. Grabbing my keys, I head out the door, still holding my cell phone tight as Isabel relays all of the details she knows. The drug deal went bad and Paco and Hector are dead. Alex was shot and is in surgery. That's all she knows. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God! I chant throughout the ride to the hospital after I hang up with Isabel. When I spent the evening with Alex last night, I was sure he would choose me over the drug deal. He might have betrayed our love, but I can't. Deep sobs rack me. Paco assured me yesterday he was going to make sure Alex didn't do the drug deal. But, oh God, Paco took Alex's place and ended up dead. Poor sweet Paco. I'm trying to drown out the images of Alex not making it through the surgery. A part of me will die with him. I ask the hospital receptionist where I should wait for updates on Alex's condition. The lady asks me to spell his name, then types it on her keyboard. The sound is making me crazy. She's taking so long, I want to grab her shoulders and shake her into going faster. The woman looks at me with curious eyes.
Are you family?
Yes.
Relation?
Sister. The lady shakes her head in disbelief, then shrugs. Alejandro Fuentes was brought in with a gunshot wound.
He's going to be okay, right?
I cry. The lady punches her keyboard again. It looks like he's been in surgery all morning, Miss Fuentes. The waiting room is the orange room down the hall on the right. The doctor will inform you of your brother's prognosis after surgery. I clutch the counter.
Thank you!
At the waiting room, I freeze as soon as I see Alex's mother and two brothers huddled in the corner, sitting on orange-colored hospital chairs. His mother looks up first. Her eyes are bloodshot, and tears stream down her face. My hand goes to my mouth, and I can't help a sob from escaping. I can't hold it in. Tears well in my eyes, and through the blurriness, I see Mrs. Fuentes open her arms to me. Overwhelmed with emotion, I run into her embrace. His hand twitched. I lift my head from Alex's hospital bed. I've sat beside him through the night, waiting for him to wake up. His mother and brothers haven't left his side either. The doctor said it could be hours before he's conscious. I wet a paper towel from the hospital room sink and touch it to Alex's forehead. I've done this throughout the night as he sweated and thrashed in a restless sleep. His eyes flutter. I can tell he's fighting the sedation as he forces them open.
Where am I?
His voice is scratchy and faint.
The hospital, his mom says as she rushes to his side. You were shot,
Carlos adds, his voice full of agony. Alex's brows draw together in confusion.
Paco,
he says, his voice hitching.
Don't think about that right now,
I say, trying to hold my emotion in with little success. I need to be strong for him now, and I won't let him down. I think he's about to reach for my hand, but a pained expression crosses his face, and he pulls back.
I have so much to tell him, so much to say. I wish I could have a do-over day and change the past. I wish I could have saved Paco and Alex from their fates.
His eyes are still glassy from drowsiness when he looks at me and says,
Why are you here?
I watch as his mom rubs his arm, trying to lend him comfort.
Brittany stayed all night, Alex. She's worried about you.
Let me talk to her. Alone,
he says weakly. His brothers and mother exit the room, giving us privacy. When we're alone, he winces in pain as he adjusts his position. Then he glares at me.
I want you to leave.
You don't mean that,
I say, reaching for his hand. He can't mean it. He jerks his hand away, as if my touch burned him.
Yes, I do.
Alex, we'll get through this. I love you.
He turns his head and focuses on the floor. He swallows and clears his throat.
I fucked you because of a bet, Brittany,
he says softly, but his words come out crystal clear.
It didn't mean anything to me. You don't mean anything to me.
I step back as Alex's hurtful words seep into my brain.
No,
I whisper.
You and me? It was a game. I bet Lucky his RX-7 that I could fuck you before Thanksgiving.
When Alex referred to our lovemaking as a fuck, I cringed. Calling it sex would have left a bitter taste in my mouth. Calling it a fuck makes my stomach churn. I keep my hands limp at my sides. I want to make him take back his words.
You're lying.
He turns his gaze from the floor and looks right into my eyes.
Oh, God. There's no emotion there. His eyes are as steely as his words.
You're pathetic if you think this thing between us was real.
I shake my head violently. Don't hurt me, Alex. Not you. Not now. My lips are trembling as I mouth a silent but pleading, please.